Today I'm concluding a series we've been doing the last couple of weeks on walking in discernment in an age of deception, how to really overcome the many obstacles like beautiful London just described that people are facing, that we're all facing. And we're going to be talking about, it's perfect timing, we'll be talking about walking in partnership with the Holy Spirit in a prophetic way. That every believer has access to this advantage, this prophetic advantage of hearing God's voice, being led by God's Spirit in this turbulent time. And before we open the Word, let me share something funny. A little girl asked her mother, "How did the human race begin?" The mother answered, "Well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so was all mankind made." A couple of days later, the little girl asked her father the same question. The father answered, "Many years ago, there was a monkey from which all the human race evolved." The confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God, but Dad said we evolved from monkeys?" The mother answered, "Well, honey, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his side of the family." In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, there's a great description of people, a tribe of Israel, and in this season of their existence, they were driven to a pursuit of the heart of God. And I love this description. It says this, in 1 Chronicles 12, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Those two pictures are beautiful descriptions of what it is to be a person that's walking in a discerning manner with God, to understand the times, to discern what's happening. But it's one thing to discern a problem, it's another thing to discern the answer. And they had both of those things. So a lot of people in this moment in history are discerning problems. We can say, well, this is a problem. And it's a good thing that problems that have been, many of them, generational, are being revealed and hidden strongholds. But the world will have a different solution than the church. And God wants sons of Issachar, daughters of Issachar, prophetic Christians, to have a wisdom pouring out of them that says, here's how we overcome that. Here's the direction of God for this season in our lives. Jesus said in John 16, this was the verse that really launched me as a teenager into a prophetic journey with God. When Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, he described the activity of the Comforter, the Counselor, in John 16, 13, when he said, the Spirit of truth, has come, talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, three whole chapters are primarily focused on Christ introducing the role of the Holy Spirit as he exits and as the Holy Spirit enters, really the role of leading the church. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And then he closes that great verse by saying, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. The future is not a mystery to God. Okay? So there's never been a time when the church has needed to be more orientated to what is God saying about tomorrow than now. Because there are a lot of voices, and so many of them dire and negative about tomorrow, but God may have a different point of view. And he wants the church to hear his voice, to declare his voice, to speak his voice. So that verse, I claimed it as a teenager, and I realized, here's what struck me. Jesus said that I could have that, and I don't have that. And so I made the determination that I'm not going to live without anything Jesus said I could have. So I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me things to come. And now for 40 plus years, the Holy Spirit has been showing me things to come. And not just because I'm a pastor, a minister, a prophet, whatever you call me. It's because I'm just a Christian dude. I'm a bro. And all the bros and all the sissies, all the sisters and all the bros get to hear from God. So the Father talks to all of us. We get incorporated. Everybody, this is a party where everyone's invited. It's a Holy Ghost party. It's a Holy Ghost party. Everyone's invited. There's another great verse, Jeremiah 33:3. God's inviting us, and he says this, call unto me. He said, Before phones, God said, give me a call. Call unto me. I will answer you. I'm trying to get used to it. All my kids are texters. So even when I see my kids texting or I see they're doing something, I'll call them. They don't pick up. They'll text me back. What you need, Dad? I need you to pick up your darn phone. I'm used to hearing voices. I'm having a hard time. You know, love you, Dad. Doesn't have the same meaning in the digits as it does. But that's just because I'm old. Jesus said, the Bible says, if you call, God will answer. He doesn't ignore you. He doesn't decline you. He doesn't unfriend you. And then he says this, and I will show you great and mighty things, what? Which you do not know. I'll show you what you don't know. Well, that's a great promise from God for every believer and for us as the body of Christ. So just like I said in the book of Acts, I want to quote it again. Acts chapter 2, this is the birth of the church, the birth of the church age. First sermon, the first sermon of the church age in Acts 2, as the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, was about the Holy Spirit. Come on, the Holy Spirit is the greatest unused resource in the church today. Every believer has the Holy Spirit, but not every believer is functioning in the full gifts that the Holy Spirit has for the church. Jesus said, he said this, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another comforter, and he uses the word parakletos. So a paraclete was a defense attorney, but it had this wide, beautiful spectrum, this great definition. And these, I'll give you 9 synonyms that are all acceptable in translating that word into English. The New King James says helper. The Old King James says comforter. He's a counselor. He's a teacher. He's a strengthener. He's an encourager. He's an intercessor. He's a guide. And he's an advocate. All 9 of those words talk about operations of the Holy Spirit in every believer. What does he do? He helps me. He gives me counsel. If you were, we have one of the world's best counselors here, Pastor Judy. And Pastor Judy, people ask us about like human trafficking. Well, we've been engaged as a ministry through her, helping people come out of human trafficking for 15 years here. So she actually disciples women who have come out of that. And she's an amazing voice. But one of the ways that makes her such a great counselor is not just that she has the acumen, that she's compassionate, she's empathetic, but that she's open to the Holy Spirit. So while you're looking at someone, you have your wisdom, and the Holy Spirit shows up with his wisdom. And so anointed, God can make you a counselor way beyond your intelligence, your education, your experience by the Holy Spirit. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He will comfort you and comfort through you. He will teach through you. He will teach you and teach through you. He will intercede through you. He's a strengthener. He's a strengthener. He's an encourager. In fact, the compound word parakletos means to come alongside to help. He comes alongside to help us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we must become more familiar and more dependent on the wonderful Holy Spirit in this time. We can't afford to not access all he has brought through the cross and through the promise of Scripture into our lives. Amen? So Acts 2 says, quoting from Joel, I'll pour out my spirit to all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So wherever God's Spirit is moving, the spirit of prophecy is ready to function. Okay? Holy Spirit's here. He's ready to speak. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men dream dreams. Old men see visions. By the way, tonight, young people, our Mountain Ministry, Pastor Tyler and Sam leading tonight. It's going to be wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to jump right into this. It begins by, in verse 1, it says this, I would not have you be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And he's talking to people that don't have any classical, historical, religious background. He's introducing the function of spiritual gifts also in a personal way and then a corporate church setting. And so he wants them to have spiritual gifts. So in the New Testament, the Greek word for spiritual gifts is charisma. So we call ourselves charismatic people because the gifts of the Spirit flow through this wonderful touch of the Holy Spirit that we've received. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so these spiritual gifts are for every believer. Now, what would it be like if you had this magnificent, gift delivered, all wrapped up gift to your front door, and it's beautiful, and it's for you, got your name on it, and you just stared at it and never opened it. And you just put it in the living room. Everybody say, what's that? Well, that's a gift from God. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's no good until you open it. It's not benefiting you until you open it. So we want to open our gifts. So instead of the church having a bunch of specialists that have gifts, God wants the whole church to specialize in gifts. So next time you need a prophecy, instead of going to a prophetic expert, you have the prophetic expert living in you. And he'd like to talk to you and through you and about you. No one cares more about your future than God, and he wants to talk to you about it, okay? Chapter 12, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians, here's what it says. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to each one to profit everyone. So everybody is supposed to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to try to demystify it. That's why I wrote this whole book, okay? Because everybody's supposed to have this. Not just a couple people. It's for everybody. My 12-year-old granddaughter just gave you a prophetic dream. It's for everybody. God wants to speak to everybody and profit or, benefiting everybody. Now, here's the 9 gifts. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit. To another, word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith. Supernatural faith. Everybody has faith. The gift of faith is an extraordinary boldness to act boldly to release miraculous outcomes. Usually that's how it's connected. So to another, you cut through my verses there. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So let me go through the 9 gifts. Here they are. Prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. Diverse tongues. So if you speak in tongues, diverse tongues is a different kind of tongue than your normal prayer tongue. So, man, there's no gift in the church more under attack than speaking in tongues. Why? The devil wants to convince people that the Holy Spirit can't have your tongue. But when the Holy Spirit gets your tongue, he gets all of you. Shandai mandai. Speaking in tongues, interpreting in tongues. So, interpreting of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healing, supernatural faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Let's go through them. I'm going to talk about 6 of them. 6 of these gifts have a prophetic orientation. Number 1, word of wisdom. So what is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is when the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural insight to accomplish the will of God. It is a divine anointing to solve problems by accessing God's specific wisdom for what is needed. This gift makes known God's will through revealing direction for right decisions. So it's when God shows you the proper direction to go or the proper decision to make. It's beyond human acumen. Now here's God's promise. Just ask me and I'll give you. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to everyone who asks. So this is a spiritual gift that should be functioning in every person's life. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do now. The Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost does, and you should be walking around this week saying, thank you for the gift of the word of wisdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're giving me wisdom to know what to do and to help others to know what to do, to give them direction. Number 2, word of knowledge. So what is the word of knowledge? God is omniscient, which means all-knowing, and with this gift, the Holy Spirit reveals knowledge that could not have been accessed without him. It is a fragment of God's omniscience without human assistance, used to bring healing, deliverance, guidance, protection, and provision into people's lives. So it's a fact you couldn't have had access to without God telling you. Okay? That kind of factoid. So I was preaching a few years ago, and I stopped, and I had this urge to stop. A guy sat in the back row, and I said, hi, Perry, how are you doing? He stands up, and here's what he said. My name's Perry. We've never met. It's my first time at your church. How do you know my name? I said, don't blame me, it's the Holy Ghost. Don't blame. He's given me access to information that's beyond my experience, my intellect, and my education. The Holy Spirit will give you that kind of access. I was praying one day, Friday, and a guy came in, I was talking to a guy in my church named Warner Gomringer. He was a very accomplished entrepreneur. He lived in North Scottsdale, had a 12 or 13,000 square foot house. And we're talking, he was just, matter of factly, he just said, you know, I'm redoing my mortgage, getting a new mortgage, and the bank's working with me, it all looks good. I said, that's great, praise God. So later on that night, the Holy Spirit said to me, call him back up and tell him the bankers lied to him. That on Monday morning at 10 o'clock, they will come to seize his property because he had some debt in the property, but it was worth millions more in equity. And so they were lusting after that property, that group he was working with. So I told him, he believed that word. So here's the poor preacher calling the millionaire. You with me? Because it doesn't matter how rich you are, when someone hears from God, you can enter anybody's life. You're almost with me. So he spent the whole weekend working with his attorneys. And sure enough, at 10:05 on Monday morning, they knocked on his door, three or four bankers, saying, we're here to seize your property. Here's our papers. He said, no, you don't. Here's my papers. He stopped them. He was able to rework his mortgage and then exit that property with millions of dollars of equity as God wanted him to a few years later. Now, a word of knowledge can help you parent. I'll throw Timmy under the bus since he's not here. Our son Timmy was 14, and he was a great kid, and he's going to spend the night at his friend's house. We said, of course you can. He's going over there. And so an hour after he left, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Timmy lied to you. He's going to meet a girl. Now, we didn't let our kids date till they were 16, and that was with me in the back seat. So here's the word of knowledge. So that's part of it. The Lord shows me the theater they went to and the movie they went to see. Now, Phoenix is a big city. Lots of theaters. So Mary and I buy tickets to that movie. We show up, and there just happens to be two seats right behind them. We sat down. They didn't see us, and just before the movie starts, I said, hey, Timmy, can't wait to watch this movie with you and your little friend. Now, here's my point. It wasn't just the Lord stopping. My son, Timmy, he wasn't, that was extraordinary behavior for him. The real point was this. He was with the wrong woman. And the woman he would marry went to that same school, but that wasn't, that girl had a lot of stuff going on that would have pulled my son into it. Wow. He married an angel named Melissa. And I believe that word of knowledge helped contribute to the destiny God had for my son by stopping him from entering the relationship with the wrong person. So God will talk to you about all kinds of things. I'm trying to go on. I was driving home from church a couple weeks ago up Central Avenue, and I stopped at Dunlap. And I had worship music on, I think actually jazz music, but I'm listening to stomp music. And praying in tongues under my breath, just having a really, I had done some recording for a couple hours, just really having a wonderful time with God. And at the stoplight, it turned red, and there's a van next to me, and I'm in the right lane. The Holy Spirit said to me, when the light turns red, don't go. Clear as that. The light turns red, I don't go. For 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. At the fourth second, a large utility truck hauling a trailer carrying 30 or 40 foot tall power poles ran the light. About 50. If I would have pulled out, it would have right hit my direct, the driver's door. It probably could have been a death blow. The Holy Spirit will tell you things you can't access. Words of knowledge. And so, well, Pastor, how, How do I get them? Just thank Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of words of knowledge. And he'll start talking to you about your life, your family, your future, your business, your decisions, your people you can help, people he wants to set free. All kinds of things. I was preaching in, actually leading worship in my father's church in California. And every Mother's Day, a dear woman in our church, her son would come. He was a USC graduate. He was a millionaire, 30-year-old, very successful entrepreneur. 6'6". I think he played on the basketball team or the volleyball team. I can't remember exactly, for USC. He would come there, and he hated church, but he loved his mom. So the mom was smart. She said, the only thing I want for Mother's Day is for you to come to church. So he comes every Mother's Day like this. So I'm leading worship, and he's like this. And he's so tall, I can't not see him. So I'm closing my eyes. I love you, Jesus. What a jerk this guy is, man. And so because he's like physically opposing a service. But the Holy Spirit starts talking to me about him. And I saw him standing over his father's casket. He was 12. And he looked up and he said, how could you kill my father? And I walked down. So we had a little meet and greet time like we do here. And I walked down and said, I had a vision. Do you mind if I share it? He said, go ahead, preacher. I said, I saw you when you were 12, standing over your father's casket, looking up to God, saying, how could you kill my father? Here's what God says to you. He didn't kill your father, and he's sorry that you grew up without one. He's always loved you. When I said that, this man who mocked God fell to his knees, received Christ, and answered his mother's prayer. That heart would have never opened without the supernatural device of a word of knowledge. Yeah. Come on. Word of knowledge. Okay, so discerning of spirits, I talked about that last week, diverse tongues, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Lastly, they get the prophecy. So there are six gifts. All of them are revelatory. Word of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now here's what the Bible says. Here's what a definition of prophecy. Okay, here's what prophecy is. A divinely inspired utterance that brings edification, exhortation, and healing to others. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not of human intellect. Every believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit may seek to be used of God in the gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Bible says, every believer is told to passionately pursue, desire, and seek the gift of prophecy, and to seek it concerning the future, the foretelling of the future. So this is the big thing. Here's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. Pursue love, verse 1. Desire spiritual gifts, zaleo, burn with passion for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He who speaks in a tongues does not speak to man but to God. No one understands him. In the spirit he's speaking mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, or encouragement and comfort. So here's the guideposts, the guidelines, the boundaries, the banks of prophecy. Edification, building people up. Exhortation, encouraging them, and comfort, healing them. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the whole church. So what happened to the Corinth church, they were so excited about the spiritual gift of tongues, people would just stand up publicly and speak in tongues for 30 minutes. Now, if I came today and got behind this little table and spoke in tongues for 30 minutes, I would go home flying like a kite, soaring in the spirits, and you'll be going home. I don't know what he said. What happened? He talked in a language. I don't know what he said. I don't know. There was no one interpreted. So publicly, we don't speak in tongues for long durations and not interpret it. There's no benefit without understanding. So that's for the public expression of. And then he said this, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So don't let someone tell you that speaking in tongues isn't beneficial. It builds you up. You pray the mind of God. You worship God with an unending vocabulary. It's so important. But even more importantly, that you also prophesy. For he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues. Okay? Verse 18. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Little southern twang from Paul. Come on, y'all, I speak in tongues. So he's reminding them, I'm not telling you not to speak in tongues, but don't do it in a public setting where it can't be interpreted. Okay? So he says, I pray all the time in tongues. Now, I personally do the same thing. The majority of my prayer life is in my heavenly language. Why? Because I don't know how to pray for you. I pray scriptures over you. I quote things. I pray the Lord's Prayer. I pray what I know, and then I move into what I don't know, and I let the Holy Spirit pray through me. Amen. What does he do? He hits the bullseye. He prays perfect prayers because he knows the mind of God. Okay, verse 24 says this. If everyone prophesies, if the whole church is prophetic, and an unbelieving person or uninformed person comes in, they will be convinced of all and convicted by all, and thus the secrets of their hearts being revealed, falling down on their face, they will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now, I have seen that happen hundreds of times, where a prophetic word. So I was just in Hawaii last year, ministering at a beautiful church, Orion's Church there. And right in the service, I felt to stop and pray for a lovely black woman and her two sons. And I just stopped and I prophesied over these three people. I'd never met them. And that was their first time at church. I didn't know. My first time at church. So I prophesied to them. And about 20 minutes later, I ended my service. I gave the altar call. All three people raised their hand to receive Christ. When there are secrets, when God showed him his love, his care, revealed secrets, it opened their hearts to receive him. Flying to Seattle, sitting next to a hippie. And this is one of the funniest stories of my whole life. He's got holy jeans before they were popular. He's got sandals on. He's got hairy feet. The whole thing's grossing me out. He's got long hair and some, you know, t-shirt. We're flying to Seattle together. We're sitting together. So I have all these opinions I form about him. I close my eyes and Lord says, I want you to prophesy to him. I said, oh, you're kidding me. He's got sandals on. Look at his toes and his hairy feet. And so the Lord shows me that he signed a contract. He'll be a multimillionaire. He's a Jew, and Jesus wants to know him as his, he wants to know that he's his Messiah. So I said, hey, man, do you mind if I share something with you? He said, all right, go ahead. I said, well, I saw you sign a contract. And the Lord said, within 90 days, you'll be a multimillionaire. Now, my mind's saying, stop it. He's a freaking hippie. Don't say that. He's got holy jeans on and hairy toes. So I say it to him. He's just, so whenever you talk to someone who doesn't know protocol, they always lean in. So whenever you, I just close my eyes. And they'll be right here. And then the Lord wants you to know he's your Messiah. And so here's what he tells me. Well, here's my name. He said, I'm the president of this record company. I'm just returning from signing the largest rock and roll band in the world. Within 90 days, I'll be a multimillionaire. And I'm also Jewish. And as we're landing in Seattle, we're saying the sinner's prayer. This person of consequence coming to Christ because of a prophecy. So, and the Lord always puts it. So the moment he said he was a Harvard graduate, I went to Life Bible College. And so the Lord is so fun. My whole point is this. Prophecy enters empty culture. That's so good. Because everybody wants to hear from God. Everybody wants to hear from God. I was, one day I got a phone call. It was my pastor friend, Dick Burnell. And he said, Michael, I'm going to Guatemala. You want to come? And I said, no. And so I hung up and the Holy Spirit said, you're supposed to go. And I thought, That was it. The Lord just said, go. Okay. I get in a plane, and Dick's just a wonderful guy from San Jose. So I'm on the plane, and the Lord says to me, tomorrow at this very hour, you'll be in the president's office, and you'll prophesy to the president of Guatemala without asking, without seeking an appointment. And just like the Lord said, I was in the president's office. I bowed on my knees and began to prophesy to him. Just like God said, prophecy will take you anywhere. And often God won't give you everything you're supposed to say until you step out. And well, Pastor, I want God to tell me everything. He might just say, go over there. If you step toward him, I'll start talking to you. It is the wonderful Holy Spirit and beautiful Mary that have helped me obey God in many years of ministry. We were flying to California, and Mary, it was late night, like midnight flight when they used to have those. And there's only two couples on the plane, us. And I'm tired. I think it was Sunday night. I preached all day. I'm tired. And I sleep on airplanes like a baby in a car, you know. The engine starts. And so I'm dozing off, just the thought of the engine starting. And Mary elbows me. Wake up. Get a word for these people. And I didn't even see who it was, but she said, I saw them on David Letterman last night. It was a young actor, a young comedian. And as soon as I closed my eyes, there's the Lord said, thank you for listening to your wife. Since you're not listening to me, listen to your wife. And he gave me a prophecy that person that was sitting in the back of the plane or in the front of the plane would be world famous within 2 years, would be a household name, that they were Jewish, and God wanted them to know that Jesus, their Messiah, was doing this for them. So sure enough, that all came to pass. But so anyways, so I said to Mary, this is ornery. I said, well, since you want to do it, you write it out and you go give them the prophecy. So sure enough, she writes it all. I tell her these things. She writes it all. She goes back there. And she's back there for like 45 minutes. They're laughing. They're crying. They're having revival. And now I'm in the front pouting. Should be me getting the credit. She's taking all the credit. Sure enough, that happened, didn't it, honey? And one time she told me to pray for a congressman. I didn't want to. And sure enough, it was another total miraculous moment. The Holy Spirit, in fact, as I think about it, there's never been a time when I've asked God and he had a word and he said no. Okay. We want to, as believers, make sure that we're open to what the Holy Spirit is ready to do. Anointed prophecy has the power to create the very thing it reveals. God isn't just telling people about their future. God is creating their future when they receive an anointed prophecy and when they believe it. The Holy Spirit will always be the smartest person in the room. For years, the church has treated these gifts of the Spirit as unnecessary spiritual trinkets that they could do without. But in this hour, God's reminding the church of the absolute necessity and irreplaceable value of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an encourager. Every genuine encounter we have with him will bring us great encouragement. The Holy Spirit is a helper and a healer. Every encounter we have with him will bring us help and healing. The Holy Spirit is a comforter and a strengthener. Every encounter we have with him will bring us strength and comfort. The river of the Holy Spirit is a river of pure love. Prophecy misrepresents God when it's not bathed in and brought by love. It's a huge contradiction for the church to plead to God for revival while simultaneously dishonoring the person and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The future is not a mystery to God. The gifts of the Spirit are spiritual weapons that can defeat the agenda and activity of the enemy. Nobody's more excited about your future than God. Can I have an amen? Every believer can and is called to prophesy. Spiritual gifts are spiritual weapons. That's what God's given them to us. Often we ask God to do something he's already equipped us to do through his gifts. We receive spiritual gifts by believing what the Bible says about them. Number two, by boldly claiming them in faith. And number three, by activating them, by stepping out and giving God a chance to use us. Well, Pastor, what if they don't receive it? What if they do? What if it's not accurate? What if it is? Nobody bats 1,000. Stop worrying about failure. Do it lovingly. Do it humbly. I don't worry. Pastor, I do all kinds of crazy things in all kinds of settings all over the world. Called out a guy in a wonderful pastor. in Auckland, New Zealand. I didn't know who he was, in a big auditorium. I started prophesying to him about three buildings, about a huge, like an eight-figure government check. The Lord said, do it, all three buildings at once. I didn't know who he was, never met him. Find out he's the pastor of the largest church in New Zealand. Well, he was praying about what to do. Sure enough, like a week later, the government showed up and gave him an eight-figure check for their property. They needed to build a highway, and they bought his property. He built three buildings, his main campus and two side campuses, all at the same time. And today, in New Zealand, all three were full many times. They're having a revival and breakthrough. He took that word, printed it out, and put it on the wall of his office. And his whole staff prayed over that word every day. And everything God said to him, God did. Prophecy is not something that should sit on your shelf. Prophecy is something that should be in your vocabulary, in your prayer life, in your proclamation life. Prophecy allows people to have encounters with God. If you seek him, God will talk to you about the future. Don't pray the problem, pray the promise. God, thank you for the gift of prophecy. Would you just hold up your hands like that? I call this half mask for you if you're new to the church. The gift of prophecy is for every person in this room, every person watching. Would you say this with me, Holy Spirit? Thank you for living in me. Thank you for all the gifts that you bring to us. Today I ask you for the gift of prophecy, that you would speak through me to bring edification, encouragement, and healing to other people. I boldly lay claim to the spiritual gift of prophecy. I refuse to live without it. In Jesus' name, say, Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift of the word of wisdom. I claim it in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving me wisdom about the future and about decisions and direction. I claim this gift in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift of the word of knowledge. I claim this gift and I thank you for giving me knowledge that I couldn't know without you. I receive your gifts in the name of Jesus. Come on, just thank God right now that you're receiving those gifts. Thank you, God. In the book of Acts, people, they got saved, and 5 minutes later, they were prophesying. There wasn't a 10-year delay. Now, we teach about prophecy in our school. Man, it's very, very in-depth. But every believer has the right to hear from God. And in this season, this darkened season of confusion, fear, and deception, the church must set the example of hearing from God, declaring his voice, declaring his wisdom. God will do it. Amen? Hey, thanks for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet, please?